time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. On today's show, check out this title, The Motion, The Locomotion in the Ocean. So you're going to go on the series, Oceans and Sea Creatures. Well, what could this possibly be about? So let's start here. Today, you're going to go on a race. You get to pick any partner you want. Think about all of your friends. Think about even someone who you don't know. You go, wow, they would be the perfect partner to be in the race. All right. The first question you should have asked is, what type of race is it? You see, you always want to select your partners based on they may have a specific knowledge that you may need, that you may not have, or one that you may be able to collaborate on. So here's the deal. The race you're going to be in today is a hot air balloon race. So now think about all the people you know and say, well, who would I select? And no, by the way, no, you may not select me. So the first question then has to be, well, how does it work? Well, hot air balloons are based on convection currents. And convection currents are warm, in this case, because it's warm rising, cold settling, but it's warm air rising and cold settling. So you need to know something about convection currents or select someone who knows something about convection currents. So now let's apply this to the title, The Motion and the Locomotion in the Ocean. So let's figure this out. So I am now holding a globe in the studio here. So picture in your mind the entire Earth. It's a globe, round, spherical ball. It's not perfectly spherical. It's a little bit egg-shaped, for that matter, a little bit smaller on the top, larger on the bottom. Well, think about that. Now, where are the coldest places on Earth? And obviously we know this. That would be at the poles, North Pole, South Pole. Where are the warmest places on Earth? Well, looking at the globe, you know it's the equator. So that imaginary line that's going around, because I haven't seen that line going across the oceans in the equator. It's that line that's there. So we have really then two large convection currents, because if warm air is rising at the equator and settling down on the poles, so if I was able to take the globe and just put it sideways, so the equator sort of is on the top of the globe, you would see warm air rising up and then cold air settling down at the poles. So our Earth should have two large convection currents. But, ding, ding, we know that does not happen because you also know that the Earth, well, guess what? It rotates. And because it rotates, we get these small little convection currents called prevailing winds. And the prevailing winds, this is because of the topography of our Earth, you know, the different land features, etc., and the water. And prevailing winds on Earth, they follow this definite pattern. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So let's talk about these prevailing winds, because, hey, let's just say that you were in another race. People go, well, what kind of race is that? Well, see, now you're asking the right question. So you're going to be in a race, and I'm going to give you any materials that you want to build, and we won't call it a boat. We're going to call it a craft, because, hey, some of you may be able to build a boat, and some of you may be able to build something that looks nothing like a boat but is floatable. So once again, now you'd pick your partner, because, you see, you'd want to know, okay, so what kind of race am I in? And then once you know the type of race, then you can select your partner. And no, you may not select me. So the prevailing winds on Earth, let's take a look at, well, what determines them. And there's three factors for that. First one is convection currents. And the next one is the Earth's rotation. And I tell you, I have been with the youth of America, and I would ask them, okay, so where does the sun rise? Where does the sun set? And what is the Earth's rotation? And sometimes, not even sometimes, many times it becomes confusing to them. Well, it's real simple. For the sun to rise, which really doesn't rise, the Earth is really rotating. For the sun to rise in the east, the Earth's rotation is from west to east. And that's the most important thing to understand. Now, Let's go to the third factor, and that's the air pressure. And the air pressure is high pressure and low pressure. You see those on the map. High pressure spins clockwise, low pressure spins counterclockwise. So, and there's a few more things, and I have a couple other shows with meteorology things that discuss all that. And because of the high and low pressure, there's a deflection of winds due to the Earth's rotation. And we give it a real big name. It's called the Coriolis effect, and I will get into that on another day. So now, you now have your, and I'm going to say your craft that you're in, and we'll call it a flotation device of some sort. You know, it's really neat. At Stevens Institute of Technology, one of the major places on Earth for engineering students to go, obviously to get that great degree, one of the first things that they do in there is they actually tell their students, all right, you're going to be in a race. And they're like, oh, this is great. Pick your partners. They pick their partners. And these are incoming freshmen. So they're just picking their buddy next door. That's somebody they just met. Instead of asking that question, as we just discussed, like, well, which one do you do? And then they give them bags of concrete and say, okay, now you must build a craft that's got to float. And right away they're going, what? Cement? They can't float. And then you start to think about it. And, you know, and obviously they go into the principles of buoyancy and all that. And then they build them. And they will either create a craft that floats or a craft that is a submarine. Hopefully whatever craft that you are designing is a floatable craft and you didn't create a submarine. Some of you out there are getting that going, ah, I understand what he's talking about now. So, here you know. So you needed to know the prevailing winds first because winds cause waves and surface currents. Ah, so you see, we needed to get something about motion so we can get locomotion in the ocean. And there is a closed loop pattern. So let's understand this. They turn clockwise in the northern hemisphere. They turn counterclockwise in the southern hemisphere. And if you look at all water, and this is real deal, and this goes back to the Coriolis effect and all this. If you look at water, so if you watch water go down your sink, you watch water go down your sink, you'll see it spins in a clockwise fashion and goes down. Because all water, doesn't matter what it is, spins clockwise in the northern hemisphere. You watch your tub, water goes down. You know, it's amazing. As I talk about these things many times, people will call me up going, hey, I was listening to what you said, and I went at home, and I flushed my toilet, and I watched my... So I'm going, all right, so you went home, and you actually stuck your head in your toilet bowl, and you watched, and they're going, yeah, I watched the water go down, and you're right. Well, again, I didn't make this up. This is just a principle that happens. And then here's a really neat fact, because I already said to you that it would turn counterclockwise in the southern hemisphere. Well, I've had people that would call their relatives in the southern hemisphere and say, hey, can you go flush the toilet for me? And they're going, wait, you're calling me and paying all this money for me to go flush my toilet. Yeah, could you tell me which way it's spinning? And then they go, well, it's spinning clockwise. And then they call me back going, well, you lied to me. I said, okay, so here's the first deal. You need to call them back again and waste some more money and find out where the toilet bowl was made. And they go, what do you mean? Well, most of the toilet bowls and tubs were manufactured in the U.S., the Northern Hemisphere, and they're actually designed, you know, again, by engineers to propel the water to go down faster. So for those of you that were about to go make that phone call, I just saved you a couple bucks. Please don't do it. So now, let's get to the locomotion and let's get to surface currents. And they're caused by prevailing winds. So, you know, there's warm water at the equator, cold water at the poles. So we should, again, we said we should have two convection currents, but there's a closed circular pattern in each of the oceans. Now, with that closed circular pattern, we'll discuss a few things. Let's first talk about the reasons for it. Why, and for example, in the Atlantic Ocean, there's a closed circular pattern in the Atlantic Ocean going clockwise. In the southern hemisphere, you're going to have it going counterclockwise, but let's talk about this. So the reasons for these surface currents, it's the Earth's rotation from west to east and the position of the continents. So you see, the position of the continents has something to do with it. And I'm going to tell you one of the coolest stories. And this goes back, and I read this, I actually have the article. And during World War II, an American soldier just married, gets shipped off to Germany. He is heart sick for his love, you know, his wife he just married. So he writes a message, a note, puts it in a bottle, throws it into the ocean, and I'm sure at this point in time it made him feel better. And we all have always heard those stories about, you know, messages in a bottle. Well, it was about 5-6 years ago, a ship off the eastern seaboard of the United States going by and trolling, whatever, picks up the bottle, opens it up, finds the message, realizes it is written by a, you know, war-torn soldier, and they do the research and find out who it belongs to. And that soldier, and he did make it home, but subsequently had died, and they found the woman who was probably around 80 years old, and they were able to give her the bottle and the message. So now let's go back to what I just talked about, surface currents. That means it is spinning clockwise, the surface currents in the Atlantic Ocean, and that bottle went around. Now, think about this. Did it circle the ocean before the ship found it? Did it circle the ocean once? Did it circle the ocean twice, 20 times, 50? Like, no one knows how many times. So there is that piece of the puzzle that you need to understand. And now here's the next thing. Well, if I was to give you now a globe with topographic features, got the word out, on there, you would see mountains and valleys and things. So then when we spoke about convection currents, and I said there was reasons for then the surface currents, now you're looking at the surface currents, and you're seeing that because the coastlines aren't, I mean, you look on a map and just everything is flattened out, but when you look on the globe, now you look on a topographic globe, and all of a sudden you can see why there are different patterns that go there. And all these circular patterns are all connected. So you can follow one ocean and follow a surface current along into the next ocean. So now let's go back to that bottle. Could that bottle have been circulating from ocean to ocean to ocean, henceforth the locomotion in the ocean? And could that bottle have, you know, just perchance, it could have gotten picked up anywhere. So what I did was, a few years back, I'm speaking in a school, and teacher liked the idea, and what we did is, they actually put, I guess it was 5 classes, they let the students select what type of bottle, plastic, glass, etc. They put a note with school's information, and a list of the students, not last names, but lists, because again, protecting people and young children, and the students were allowed to select how they were going to, we'll call it, stop up the bottle. Some of them put a cork in it. Some of them put cork and wax, and some that used a plastic bottle, just sealed it with, I guess, if it was a soda bottle. And we had them all. One of my friends, who's a fishing captain, large vessel, he went out into the ocean. He recorded the longitude and latitude that he actually released all 5 bottles at the same time, and no, we weren't polluting the ocean, because this is really, think about this, a really cool scientific experiment. And to this date, no one has ever contacted that school again. But just like that soldier, could the bottles be circulating somewhere in the ocean? Because again, if they didn't seal it well, then it is probably the structure now for some tiny little fish in the ocean floor. But could some of them just still be moving in there, the locomotion in the ocean? Could it still be going there because of the surface currents? Because I said, they're closed circular patterns, but then all connected together. So we have gone through some of the motion, some of the locomotion inside the ocean, and hopefully I've just sort of gave you this insight into what's going on, you know, in the ocean. It is a magnificent place. Hey, I always say I am the mountain man, but a lot of my family lives at the ocean, so when I go and visit and stay there, it is one of my favorite places to go visit. You know, hey, would I like to be in the mountains? Yes. But when you got family and friends and good food, by the way, at the ocean, I'm going to be there. As I always tell you, get out and enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's at the adventure. Joey B's at the adventure. Joey B's at the adventure. Joey B's at the adventure.
That was awesome.